America. Welcome back. It's Bill Martinez. We're live. And with us right now is Bruce Thatcher, author of the breakthrough book, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. He is founder of History Speaks Today, a project dedicated to sharing lessons learned from history to help us avoid making the same mistakes. It only makes sense. Bruce, as always, great to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing just fine, Bill, and you?
Hey, doing wonderful. Thank you for coming on. You know, it's always just a delight to have you here because we're able to draw from your historical context and understanding. You know, we hear so often that, you know, if we forget our history, then we just leave ourselves vulnerable to keep repeating it. And this is what's happening in America. We've unhinged ourselves from, you know, things that we should know better about. You know, history has given us a roadmap, and we ignore the lessons of the past, and it's like we want to go through and, you know, fall off the roof again to find out that it hurts when we hit ground, and there is such a thing known as the law of gravity, isn't there?
And history presents us with lots of gravity laws that we don't take with sufficient gravity, I think. Yeah. As we look forward, this immigration situation certainly is going from bad to worse. I think the principles that have been shown to be effective are being totally ignored by not just by the president, but by our Congress as well. Interesting visuals on television news the last few days show other countries are also having problems with immigration because lots of people in the world want to go somewhere else, but 150 million of them, according to a poll earlier this year, would like to come here. We can't handle that many, and most countries can't handle as many people as want to come through. But I was particularly struck in looking at those visuals. One of them, for the briefest of time, maybe 3 seconds, featured Australia and what Australia is doing with the flood of immigrants that are trying to come into their country illegally. And they are doing exactly as they were doing about 10 or 12 years ago. They have an offshore detention area where they take them all, they check their health, they assess whether they have the credentials to come in, and a few of them come into Australia, and most of them are returned to their home countries. But they are not allowed to just willy-nilly come into the country.
Why do some people look at that and say that's not very humanitarian?
Well, we are, particularly in this country, we are inclined to take a very, truly a very Christian view toward humanitarian issues. And we look at them and very genuinely say, these people need help. And who can deny it? Who can deny it? They do need help. They do need, I mean, they have been taken advantage of every step of the way. And our inclination in this country is to want to help them, want to take care of them. And at least as regards the kids, we do have to do some special things to take care of the ones that are already here. It doesn't mean we need to let them stay here. And there's where we get into some genuine arguments about what the approach should be. But we've taken in more immigrants into this country total and also on humanitarian reasons than all the other countries of the world combined. We are a humanitarian country. And that's part of the reason why the kids particularly grab at our heartstrings.
But what I'm hearing you say, Bruce, here, is that there's a beginning and an end to the humanitarian heart. It is not an infinite sense of well-being. If I can say that,
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Well, what I'm saying is that being humanitarian comes with certain, I guess, there's certain definitions, and it's not an open-ended sense of where, because you start getting diminishing returns. You know, if everything is humanitarian, it's all, you know, it's like, when do you start misserving people? Like, you know, some of these people that want to come here, yes, they're running away from something. Maybe they're not, whatever reason. Permisos, all this, you know, brought into mind here. When does it work against? I mean, I believe humanitarian reasons, at the heart of it should be a, if I can put it in that context, a win-win type of objective where everybody is satisfied and they get something out of it. The problem that we have here is because it's so meshed in politics, it's very confusing, and people are, you know, arguing different parts of the elephant instead of, you know, the parts that maybe we should really understand. That's what I'm concerned of, is that, you know, the government has made this so massive that it's very confusing to even, you know, discuss it and to really understand it.
All of the confusion that has crept into it and been built into it, as you pointed out a little bit earlier, makes it practically impossible to get your arms around the whole thing unless you just spend 100% of your time at it. And it makes it incredibly easy to see things that are wrong with it, because you use the elephant metaphor, you can always find something. And in this country, let's set the politics aside for a moment, but in this country, we are very much inclined to, with our short attention spans, to look at the micro, the here and now, the specific little instance right now, and not see the forest, what's happening overall. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to, in fact, I would argue, usually if you would do this, you have to look at the forest first, while you're... You actually have to do both things at the same time, but if all you do is look at all the individual humanitarian heartstring issues, you never will solve the problem. As you point out, you'll only exacerbate it. It'll be worse.
Right. Well, and you did a study. I mean, for years you've looked at other immigration policies, and it comes down to, you know, sorted it out and said there's three key issues. And that's like in anything, Bruce, in business, life, your family, you know, sometimes we lose our way. You know, we think we're on the right road, and we realize, you know, half hour, 2 hours down the road, hey, maybe we made a wrong turn. Now, reason says, hey, let's go back to where, you know, let's find out where we got lost. And let's go back to the basics. And what I'm concerned about is that we're so willing to jump in and discuss things moving forward that we really have not stopped to say, where did we make a wrong turn here? And meanwhile, you know, the other thing is that there's that lack of leadership that says, you know, let's focus on good policy that is truly humanitarian, truly compassionate, for all sides. You know, it protects our national interest. It protects these illegals coming in, you know, in like Australia, what they're doing and evaluating. And, you know, we've had some good immigration policies in the past, but it's just like we decided to just throw them out the window and exchange it for what we've got now. I mean, you got order versus disorder. And for some reason, there is this movement in our country that says disorder is a good thing. Maybe it sells papers. Maybe it gets people excited. Maybe it gets people voted into office. But in the long run, is it good for we the people, and is it good for these children that are coming across that require some humanitarian compassion? Well, Bruce Thatcher is with us. We got more from Bruce talking about immigration. And, you know, let's take a good look at it. We're visiting with Bruce Thatcher, his book, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. Bruce, we're not doing too good about avoiding its perils. You say it's not about building bigger fences, it's about building better policies. No question, politics is in the way of policies. Politics is driving the order of the day. If you think not, just look at the headlines. You know, the border bill, surrender to lawless president. Senate Dems try again for amnesty. You know, that there's, what, $7,000 of compensation is being presented, you know, for people housing adult illegals. I'm not sure where this math comes and how we can possibly afford this. I mean, this seems so unsustainable, which seems like so much of what America does these days.
Well, and the numbers we see run from 7,000, I've heard 700 to 7,000, even 10,000 per person, but the fact is somebody's making money at it.
Right. Maybe we'll get coyotes on this side. Coyotes will figure, hey, we can work both sides of the border. We get 12,000 over on the Mexican side.
Sure.
We can get 7,000. We'll start up this coyote, you know, free enterprise, you know, enterprise system, you know, franchise system here. We'll work both sides of the border.
Yeah.
Why not?
And they don't care anything. No. About the people that, the people that are transporting out here. Somebody said a long time ago that every policy, every public policy, every company policy is designed to produce exactly what it produces, what happens.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so we can look at the mess we have in immigration and sit back and say, well, that's because our immigration policy is designed to do exactly what it's doing.
Exactly.
So why won't we change the policy? And the reason we won't change the policy, I guess, that some people would argue, is because powerful people want it to do exactly what it's doing. That's a very cynical way to look at it, but I have often said...
Bruce, that's the point. That's the point. And this is the problem with America today, is that we cannot admit to the reality of what's before our eyes. And because we are in denial, this just gives these diabolical individuals, and yes, we're talking about people that you've elected into office, we've got to wake up and see what's going on. I mean, it's this serious. But, you know, we want to just, you know, be politically correct and we want to be nice about it. But, you know, when do you call it for what it is?
Well, we're very reluctant to call... Denial is a good term. Denial is a very good term to use in that regard. And we have, in terms of the current bill, the bill in the House was referred... You referred to it somewhat earlier. Of course, it'll never pass the Senate because the Senate won't pass anything on immigration. Or, even worse scenario, the Senate may take it up and attach the entire... omnibus immigration bill that they passed as an amendment to it and create a layer upon layer upon layer of more problems on top of what we already have. The president knows that. The president has to have known that from the beginning when he first started things, and he now says that he's going to exercise additional executive power to grant amnesty to 500,000 or 1 million more illegals who are already in the country. He is just using all of the problems at the border to justify in the eyes of the American people his acting because, quote, Congress won't act.
Right, exactly.
It's a terrible problem.
Well, we go back to, you know, not letting a good crisis go to waste.
And, right.
This president has become the king of not wasting a good crisis. And these are, as you say, crises that he has created, and we get exactly what it is, we're sowing exactly what we've been reaping. And some Americans will say, well, look at it, isn't me, but look at, we're the ones that elected them into office, and we need to realize again the power of our Constitution and the power of those three most powerful words, we the people. And if we the people are not going to stand up, we the people are going to be run over.
If we do not stand up for the principles, the we the people, the time will come when we the people is no more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, with every violation of law, with every compromise of our U.S. Constitution, the voice of we the people becomes less and less. And this is what's happening because, you know, people look around and go, what can we do? Well, look, I mean, the fact that you're even asking that question demonstrates that you haven't been doing anything.
What we can do. Well, of course, the easy answer is, well, vote. And people say, well, my vote doesn't count. Yes, it does. But what maybe is required more in the voting issue is the courage to vote against your own sitting congressman.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody thinks that Congress is awful except for their own congressman.
Yes, right. Yeah, imagine that. I mean, here it is with their low rating and everything else as a group, but then individually, you know, they look at it and say, well, yeah, but he brought, you know, all this pork into the state and all that's fine and well, and that's what he gets measured on. But, you know, there needs to be that measurement, and maybe that's what this forthcoming midterm election is going to be all about, Bruce, is, and I keep saying, I just envision this huge broom just sweeping through the beltway and shocking people and turning, you know, our political world upside down because they think because it's all, this is the way it's always been, is the way it's always going to be. But I believe that, like somebody else cited, I think yesterday, like that scene from Broadcast News, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And I believe, I'm hearing America start to say this because they're starting to realize, at every turn, whether it's, this immigration issue, yes, because it's closer to home, the VA, IRS, you just go on down scandal after scandal, and let's not even talk about foreign policy and what's happening overseas. This is an absolute mess. And these are the people, these are the 545 elected officials. I mean, we elected them into office and to serve the people, and, they say, hey, thank you very much. We're going to serve ourselves. We'll take care of you somewhere down the road, and you're going to be thankful for it, and we'll throw some crumbs and a couple entitlements here and there,
and then vote for me next time too. I love your picture, and I hope that that broom does sweep that clean. The American people need a wake-up call. Congress doesn't need a wake-up call. The American people need a wake-up call to really understand how their long-term interests are being badly served by all of this corruption in our government.
Well, I mean, like you say in your book, there are three important things. Why can't we go back and consider those? I mean, look at what's happening today with our immigration, just because this is what we're talking about. But this really has relevance on so many areas of the way this country should be run. And that is, is it serving our national interests in a way that is unambiguous? I mean, our founding fathers said laws should be done in such a way and should be presented in such a way that are easily understood. Not 2,700 pages of gobbledygook that if you read, I was trying to read the first five pages of the Affordable Care Act and my brain was going to explode, Bruce. I mean, it was just one contradiction after another. It's no wonder you have two district courts in the United States going, I'm reading the same thing, but I see it differently.
Dealing with the national interest as a start is the toughest thing to do. It's the most obvious, in one sense the simplest, but it ends up being the politically most difficult thing to do because they have to tackle really tough problems. I found in some of my own public experiences that organizations tend to want to devote their time to things they feel competent to deal with. Mm-hmm. And if our Congress will not deal with the question of our national interest, I must assume that most of them feel not competent to handle such a weighty problem as that. But they can deal with all the little tiny particulars.
Right. But, to me, and Bruce, maybe I'm just too simple on this. I mean, our national interest is our national interest. It's what serves we the people. And at the end of the day, you look at it and you say, wow, this is, this feels right. The people rejoice. They're excited about it because we're on track. Right now, you got 7 out of 10 saying we're on the wrong track. Well, Bruce, as always, great to have you along with us. Bruce Thatcher, founder of History Speaks Today. Your website, real quick, Bruce, we got about 5 seconds.
Website, historyspeakstoday.com.
All right, Bruce Thatcher, thank you so much. This is Bill Martinez, and we're live.